Will you stand with me? We're going to turn to four different passages. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Then we're going to go to John 8:58. Then we're going to go to Matthew 28:20. And then 1 Corinthians 15:10. Exodus 3:11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" John 8:58. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you, even unto the ends of the age. And then 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us in this time. Thank you for your word and your faithfulness to be with us in your name. Amen.
Good morning. There goes the earwax. Don Benoit and Sharon, they're with us this morning from Pioneer Valley. Thank you. Great friends of mine for many, 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 many years. Many, many years. What's the greatest problem? I mean, I could say that this morning. It might be something else I said next week, but... the greatest problem, I always forget about all these people here, because I can't see you. But one of the greatest problems in Christianity today, in the world, and then obviously in Christianity in both, and in the church, is what we call an identity crisis. We are not, pandemic is one thing, but an identity crisis is what's taking place, and sometimes we think about the church and we think about the effects of the church in the world and we think, well, we need more ability from God, more power from God, and we have an ability crisis. No, that's not what's first. You have an identity crisis before you have an ability crisis. This is so important. If I don't know who I am, if the church does not know who they are, and that becomes a problem as far as their ability. They don't know. If somebody's walking around, they don't know who they are, they have amnesia, then it's not going to be very likely they're going to do much of anything as far as their ability. So we're dealing with an identity crisis. That's why Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, we taught this. 70 positional truths are mentioned in the first three chapters. Then he says in chapter 4, verse 1, now walk worthy of your calling. But you can't walk worthy of your calling if you don't know who you are. You have no idea who you are. So 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 4:4, it says the objective of the enemy. And by the way, you know, the enemy would like to make people think that there is no enemy. Isn't that true? The enemy would like people to think there's no enemy, that he doesn't exist at all. And that's pretty much where the world has come to today. They really don't believe in a personal devil or demons or anything like that. They could say they believe in God, but they're not going to believe in those kind of things. And so he wants to blind people's minds. Interesting, as we said last night, the word blind is derived from the word smoke. And it means that God, the devil and the enemy, wants to put a smoke screen over our minds. And God wants to blow all of that away and help us to see very clearly. So when there's an identity crisis, there's going to be very little that's actually done. And so that's why we believe in Bible school, whether it's in Baltimore or in Marlboro, that you come and you learn. And there's maybe three aspects of what we're going to learn. Number one, we're going to learn who Jesus is. Amen? Just because somebody's saved doesn't mean they know who Jesus is. God saves because of his nature and character, and we're given a gift, but it takes us maybe a lifetime, many years of growing and knowing who God is. And if we don't know who God is, we certainly don't know what the church is. My idea of a church, I was thinking when they passed out communion today, the little wafer, is that what it is? Tastes like plastic a little bit or something like that. One time my mother opened up the top drawer of my dresser in my room and she found about 80 wafers. And she said, "What is this?" I said, "I just didn't want to take communion, so I brought it home." She goes, "What are we going to do with you?" And she says, "Yeah, like, this is ridiculous. This is blasphemous." I said, "Well," I had a fist fight with the priest that was always giving communion. No, he slapped me in the face and I punched him right in the nose. I wasn't really what you call a real, you know, like higher churchgoer kind of a person. It just didn't work for me for some reason. He would always tell me I shouldn't do this. And I know, he always knew when I was in the confessional booth. And he would yell at me through the confessional booth. How many of you know what I mean by a confessional booth? Yeah. And he'd yell and say, "You shouldn't be doing that." I said, "Aren't you the one that was trying to pick up that lady in my father's bar room a week ago?" And then it would be silent. You'd hear the thing go down. And he'd say, "No penance. There's no penance for you." So we had a running war. And so I just walked through life not knowing who God is. I didn't know anything about the church. What did I know about a church, you know? If you don't know who the head is, you certainly will not know who the body is or what the church is all about. Many people come out of places where they get to know God, but they're in churches and they do not understand anything about church at all. They have no idea. What's going on in Christianity today, what's going on in churches, to me is very interesting. When I went to Africa, all I thought, all these churches are all about just miracles and money. It's just all about miracles and money. And not all of them, of course, but most of them. And I thought, is this what church is? What is church all about? So the identity crisis begins with not knowing who God is. Then if you don't know who God is, how can you know who you are in Christ? You cannot know who you are in Christ if you don't know who God is. And if you don't know who you are in Christ, you're not going to know anything about a church. And then you're certainly not going to know anything about a personal plan for your life. So this is so key that we understand what it means to know who we are in Christ, to know who God is. And we have a class that we teach. It's called Grace, Grace. We teach it. I teach it in Baltimore. I taught it in every single Bible school in Africa, and they teach it. And it's the 26 attributes and variations of the attributes of God. It's a great course. And that's the first class you take in Bible school. Why? If you don't know who God is, why learn the Bible? If he's the Word. If I don't know who God is, like learning the Bible becomes something interesting. So I want to first help people and myself to know who God is. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? When you say Jesus in certain Muslim countries, they have their own idea of who Jesus is. If you say Jesus to a Buddhist, they have their own idea about who Jesus is. If you have, you say Jesus to an atheist, they have their own idea that he doesn't even exist at all. There is no God. So this is the great crisis today. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And Moses had that problem, along with even the patriarchs before him, and then God would help them to grow in that. And so he comes to the burning bush. He's murdered an Egyptian, hid him in the sand, by the way, dug a hole and made sure that was hidden. Did you ever try to do that with any sin? Dig a hole and put it in there? You know, maybe nobody will see it. So not only did he kill an Egyptian, but he hid him in the sand. And he comes to a place after many years. He's to a place where he's not doing so well. And he meets God at the burning bush. And he's like overwhelmed. And he says, who am I that I should go to the children of Israel? Like he's having what kind of a crisis? Identity crisis. What, sending me? Do you know what happened the last time I was there? Huh? Like some killing took place. You're sending me to Egypt? Who am I? That's what he's saying. And he uses something very interesting. He totally doesn't know who he is. I mean, think about him. Is he the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Is he the son of Jethro? Is he the son of Jews? He had an identity crisis. No, you missed it, Moses. You're a son of God. You're a child of God. And so with that identity crisis, he is overwhelmed by what God is going to tell him to do. And sometimes that's what happens in my life. Because I do not know who I am in Christ, when God presents to me something to do, I say, out of here, not doing that. Can't do that, won't do that. Because I don't know who I am. I have no idea who I am in Christ. And this is why we need teaching and preaching and Bible school and studying the Bible, because the Bible is unveiling to us who God is. Who is God? We hear many people say the name Jesus. What does that mean? Do you know who God is? And I know you do. I'm just giving you like some thoughts this morning to think about. Who is Jesus Christ? The Jews didn't know, did they? They didn't know. They crucified him. They said blasphemer, called him Beelzebub, the devil. Is he just a prophet of Galilee, some miracle worker? And you go amongst people around the world, and I've traveled to over 105 countries, and really people have no idea about who Jesus is. Even if some, and there's even believers that don't know who he is. Some people think Jesus is a big tongue, so that's all they do is speak in tongues. You know? He's just a miracle worker. That's all he does is make a provision for us. They really do not know the character of God. And this is a 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 4:4. Satan blinds people's minds, as I said, lest they would see the glorious gospel. He's a mind blinder. You think they know who Jesus is in the educational system? You kidding me? I went to college. I went to 5 different universities, 5 different schools. I never heard anybody talk about Jesus. I'm not saying there aren't people that do that. But I became a very clever demon with all that schooling. Had no idea who God was. When I went to Bible school, I got saved and I went to Bible school. I began to understand. But I need to keep knowing and growing in who He is. Who God is. I never want to come to a place in my life where I think I got it all down. Because then you got it all upside down. Instead of having it all down, you got it all upside down. But to have a revelation of Christ. What happened to John, even in the book of Revelation? This is the Apostle John who walked with him. What happened when he saw the glory of the Son of God? He fell on his face. He couldn't handle it. He had an amazing new revelation of who God is. Knowing Jesus is the key. Knowing Jesus is the key to our walk with God. We have to know God. And you can see that he took these 11 men aside, and at the end of the time, even they still struggled, but the whole purpose was to know God, to know who he is. That he's the God of all grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that's faithful. He's a God that has divine goodness. He's a God that is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He is the God who has compassion on people. He is the God who cares for people. When you talk to many people in the streets and people that are not saved, they reject God, but they don't even know what they're rejecting. They have no idea. If they really knew who Jesus was, they would be drawn to him. So the objective of the world, religion, the devil, and the flesh is to keep him hidden. Keep him hidden. Isn't it amazing that one day he's just going to appear like lightning coming from the east to the west? And everybody's going to know what? Who God is. Everybody's going to know who God is at that point. For some, it will be a sad day. For others, it will be glorious. But knowing who God is. I've been in some places, and I've heard people tell me this, all they ever talk about is money. Money, money. I didn't hear anything about money this morning, did I? You didn't do the offering? No? Do you do offerings? Yeah. Yeah, okay. I mean, no, but you can go someplace and all they ever talk about is money. Like God is some big $100 bill or something like that. It's all about money. I was in a church one time, they took 7 offerings. It was in Nigeria. I'm like, another one? And they're long, too. They got, you know, they put so much pressure on people to give. And I believe in giving, but not in pressurized giving. You give from the heart. And I recognize one thing, it's not about the error of them taking 7 offerings, but they just don't know who God is. I got up and I spoke in the church and I said, God doesn't need your money. He's done very well without it all these years. Man, that was the last invite to that church ever. That was it. That was the end of that. They didn't know who God is at all. It was amazing to me. And this can be born again people. You can have people that where legalism reigns in a church or in a movement or a ministry, they don't know who God is. And they can be saved. Hello? When you are born, you are a child of your mother and father. You don't know who they are. Do you come out of the womb saying, hi, Ma. Hi, Dad. How's it going? How you doing? What's the job look like, you know? No, you know, you are born of your parents, but you don't know them. Right? Hello? And the parents don't know the child either yet, you know? And it's amazing. And this is what happens in Christianity. That there are saved people who do not know God. Now don't get introspective and start to beat yourself up. All of us want to do what? Be growing in knowing. I'm looking at you over here, okay? I've got to turn my head. I used to get very dizzy when I turned my head sometimes, you know? Now it's getting a little better. A little bit better. But getting to know Jesus Christ, that's my lifelong desire, amen? Isn't that what Psalm 73 said? Didn't David say that? I want to know you. Paul said in Philippians 3:10, I want to know you. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and I am persuaded that he is able. I know God. That was his whole life. That's what, by the way, Philippians 3:10 is in they call it an eternal purpose clause, that I may know him. He's saying that after he's written the Bible. He's gone to the third heaven. He's had revelations. He is an apostle, and he says in Philippians 3:10, years into the ministry, I want to know God. Isn't that something? I just want to know God. I want to know him. And it's a progressive movement forward in growing. Some Christians never get out of the baby stage. They just stay there. And nothing happens. They're saved, and they just go on with their Christian life. And that's why our world is so lost. Because Christianity is not growing. There's no growth in Christianity, per se. There can be growth in amounts of people that come to church, but that really doesn't tell me much. How could 11 men evangelize the whole world? And we can't handle it today with millions of Christians. Isn't that interesting to you? I would say the thing is that people don't know God. They don't know who he is. They really don't. And it's shocking to me. Do you know which country has the most Christians in the world? Huh?
China. Somebody said a good word. What's that? China?
China. 150 million born-again believers. Out of 1.3 billion people. It's amazing. Remember when we were in China, Pastor Don? That was fun, wasn't it? What year was that? Was that 40 years ago? Huh? 86. That ain't 40 years ago. 35 years ago. Do you remember those days? Wasn't that something, huh? Huh? You were there too, right, Sharon? Yeah, we were there. We went to China together. And they told us, you cannot give out a tract. I said, really? I can't give out a tract? Yes. Remember the Bible smugglers? They were telling me. They gave us all these restrictions on what we could and could not do. I just got a microphone and started preaching right in the mainland. I said, let them come. If they come, they come, right? They come, they come. Who cares? But, whatever. We escaped. And we escape. We'll talk a little bit about it at the wrap today. It's amazing. But really, and it's incredible that in the midst of all of that Do you know what China's like in their laws and their anti-Christ declarations? But in the middle of it, people are getting to know God. Amen? They're getting to know God. We go to Muslim countries, and I know, like in Morocco, they told me there might be only 150 to 200 Christians out of 30 million people. That's unbelievable. Getting to know Jesus Christ in my personal life, this is vitally important. There's sometimes I don't want to know him. Like it was about like 3 o'clock in the morning today. And I just, you know, I could sense God saying, I should read my Bible. And I said, I don't like you right now. You're interrupting my sleep. Which was none, actually, to begin with. You know? And I didn't want to know God at that point. I wanted to know that wonderful mattress. Where is she? Yeah, in the Womble Hotel. Yeah, we got the hotel people served us breakfast this morning, and it was good. We had bacon and eggs, and all those things you're not supposed to eat. Greasy bacon. Yeah. It's okay. You know God. God can take care of your diet. Do you know that, by the way? Huh? I know. Okay, get over it. I'm the kind of person that can sit down and eat a whole chocolate cake like that. No, I don't even care. You keep your green vegetables and your meat. I'll just eat the cake. I just want to know God. I don't care about what the diet is. I just want to know God. Getting to know God, that should be our lifelong desire. Amen? And by the way, do you know there's things that happen in our lives that kind of help that to happen? Huh? Oh, yeah. God allows a child to come just so you get to what? You get to know God. When everything's going wonderful, you know, John 16:33. In this world. By the way, did you ever read that verse? And do we believe that verse? In this world there should be tribulation. So what are you shocked about? In this world there'll be, and the word is phlipsis, pressure from affliction on every side. You don't believe what's going on today? Hello, read your Bible. There's nothing new under the sun. Hello, are you with me? Oh, I want to get to know God. I can get to know God in a trial. I can get to know God in a test. I can get to know God in a disappointment. Have anybody here ever been disappointed? It's God's appointment. So you get to what? You get to know him. Paul got to know God in prison. Isn't that right, Pastor Mike? Don't people, they're in prison, they get to know God, right? They get saved, they get delivered, they have him there. And he's done that for years so faithfully and loyally before God. And they're in prison, and it's an opportunity for them to get to know God. I was in a prison one time, not in it, but working in it. Okay? And there was a guy that shot his mother dead at the kitchen table. He took a .357 Magnum and blew her head off at the kitchen table because he was on PCP. And he came in and he was comatose. For 30 days, they could not they drank water. But his name was Richard Boucher. They could not get him to do anything. So when all the psychologists and psychoanalytical baboons were done, I said to them, would you give me a crack at him? Oh, they said, here we go again, the Christian. The Christian always thinks he's going to be able to do it. I got in the cell and I told him about three murderers who wrote 60% of the Bible. He got saved. He became a Bible study leader in the prison. The prison director, his name was Robert Tizzoni. By the way, he got his job because of my uncle. Anyway, but I was going to pull that card if he didn't let me talk to the guy a little bit later. I didn't pull that card because I didn't need to pull that card. But all Richard Boucher needed to know, and it's a horrifying thing, I understand that, but he needed to know God. He needed to know that Jesus was a forgiving God. Amen? Do you know that God forgives you? Hello? I don't care who you are, what you've done, what you're going to do, or what you did. God is a forgiving God. Do we know God? Do we know the God who is merciful? Hello? Getting to know God. And when I do not know God, I can go off in so many strange directions. It's incredible what can happen. I don't know God. I'm saved, but I don't know God. The Holy Spirit's living in me, but I don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. I'm saved, but I don't know God. We see so many baby Christians throughout Africa. It's incredible, really, and I love the place, but there's no Bible schools. There's no training facilities. Churches don't teach people. It's all about give me your money and watch the miracle. Give me your money and watch the miracle happen and take place. I'm not talking about every place, but overall, it's incredible. Who is Jesus? By the way, here's a good verse for you. The devil knows who he is. Jesus we know, and Paul we know, but who the heck are you? That's my version. Huh? They know. Some of them got more knowledge than the church. They know who Jesus is, without a doubt. Okay? Jesus we know about, and Paul we know. Sceva we don't know. These seven sons of Sceva, we don't know who we are. So getting to know God, that should be the great desire of every church and every believer. And never coming to the place where I think I've attained, but I want to grow in knowing God. Right, Sal? Sal didn't sing this morning. Are you going to sing the last song for me? If I come up here and you don't sing, I feel like I don't know God. Can he sing? Will you give him permission? Okay, see, you're on the spot. So think of something right now. Sal doesn't sing, I get nervous. I'm not trying to guide the church, but I don't know. You know how that is? There's some people you just love what God is doing. I love you guys did a great job. You're amazing. But he's standing in the back like an usher. Were you involved with the collecting of the offering? Okay, he's an honest man. Getting to know God. So many things would really be reversed in places today. Number two, getting to know the church. What's a church? I never knew what a church was. Something I went to for 30 minutes a week, and then I always went to the Astoria with my grandfather to get 3 plain donuts and a cup of hot chocolate. That's all I knew about Sunday morning. That was it. Church. Yeah, when's he getting through? You know what I liked about church in my early days was a great place to run a racket of gambling. I used to sell football tickets in church in the back near the confessional booth and collect money from the games, people that lost, and then give money to the people that won. That's what I did in church. I thought that was what church was for. Just to help everybody out a little bit somehow, to conduct business. No, I was wrong. And many people, when you say the word church on the streets, they look at you funny. Because they have scarred understandings of what church was about. Whew, I remember Sister Magdalene. I wish she had been more like Mary Magdalene. She would bloody my knuckles with yardsticks. Put your hand out. Like, again? And wham! That's for talking in confraternity class. Talking in church, right? I didn't know what church was. When I first went to a church service, I went to Starleton Chapel the first time I went to church. And a guy met me at the door. Pastor Mike Williams, you know him? He met me at the door. He had a suit on. And he put his hand out and said, "Thanks for coming. We love you." I said to my brother, "What are these people, gay?" You love me? You don't even know me. I didn't know. I didn't know what church was. Then I saw somebody get up with a guitar. I'm thinking, what the heck's a guitar doing in church? And then somebody opens the Bible. I remember the first message I ever heard in the 70s. Psalm 19, verse 10. "More to be desired than fine gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honeycomb." It was by Pastor Stratus. And he preached the message. And I was like, what the heck is he talking about? I love you, guitar, Bible. Is this church? Then they come to visit me at my house. I'm like, what the heck do they want? And what's this all about? Pastor Dick Loftus came to my house in Agawam, 47 Charter Oak Drive, Agawam. I'm thinking, what are these people? They want to come to my house? What are they up to? Who are they trying to rob? I didn't know anything about church. I didn't know God and I don't know church. And so many people have this view of church today. And they have no idea what it's all about. And sometimes when they've been hurt in church, they're very reluctant. I've talked to a man this weekend, actually. What's today? Sunday? Friday. He goes, church, been there, done that. Not going back. He said, you can't believe what happened to me. I said, you ever had a bad meal? He said, yeah, of course. I said, did you stop eating? He goes, I get you. I'll come. I said, you had a bad meal. You can have a bad meal somewhere, right? But church, without church, and it's like, wow. Church is the body, right, Pastor Bailey? It's where we grow. It's where we get to know each other. It's more than hi-bye Sunday. Hey, let's play hi-bye. 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 It's going long, isn't it? I got to say goodbye. Patriots are on. Is there still a team here? Yeah? Yeah, I know. I'm just joking. I'm a Patriot fan. I never liked Dirty Birds. Ravens, I don't know. I can't go there. Something about it. Yeah. He asked me why I was wearing a Dwayne Wade jacket. I said, it was given to me. I take anything for free as long as it doesn't have swears written all over it. Church. We love church, amen? How many of you love church? You love church? Yeah. Even if you don't say it by faith, you love it. You love coming to church. Huh? Church. I was in Nigeria and they said, welcome to church. You get your porpoise in the church. I said, is there a porpoise in the church? And what they meant is you find your purpose in the church. And that really the body of Christ. God loves it so much he called it his body. His own body. This is my body. We heard it in communion by Pastor Steve. This is the church. And relationships are developed in the church. And the church is my family. I go sometimes back to Springfield a couple times a year and they say, I'll run into some of my, you know, criminal family friends. They're not friends, but they're just criminals. They say, you still doing that church thing? I say, you still doing that Satan thing? Church. You don't understand church. It's the body. Amen? Where would I be without the church? Can I tell you something? My marriage wouldn't make it without the church. She'd have killed me by now. Notice I didn't say it the other way around. You know? My wife is a saint. If we didn't have church, what would I do? What would happen to me? Where would we go? Marriages make it in the church. Children are raised in the what? In the church. They're not going to get raised very well in some school systems. You want to have them get raised in the neighborhood, on the streets? Mm-mm. With their friends? With all the drugs and alcohol and addictions and weirdness that's out there? And people, oh, am I a boy or a girl? You stupid. Why don't you look in the mirror? What are you talking about? What are we going crazy here in this country? I don't know what's going on. Huh? It's the devil. It's the devil. Why would he attack America? Of course he will, because America, 70% of all missions money and missionary work comes from the United States. So where is he going to come? What's he going to attack? He's not going to attack Afghanistan. He's attacking us. The church needs to be strong. The church makes a difference. The church in Korea, I heard that 80% of all South Koreans are born again. The church is very powerful. In South Korea. Some people are saying they're the client nation now because of what's going on. I don't know about that. I'm not saying I agree with that. But we need the body. Amen? Paul named, I think, 30-something people in Romans 16. He just kept giving names of the people in the church in Rome. Why? Because he loved the church. And by the way, isn't it amazing? He's the one that persecuted the body, and he's the one that God gave the revelation of the body to in Ephesians and Colossians. It's amazing. What's he going to do without a church? Stay in Tarsus or stay away? Barnabas, Martin Luther says the greatest verse in the Bible is Barnabas went to Antioch to find Paul. And he brought Paul to Antioch. He went to Tarsus to find Paul and brought him. Paul needed the church. The man with revelation into heaven, caught up into the third heaven, without a church, he's not going to make it. Are you with me? Oh no, Satan is such a liar when it comes to the church. And by the way, the person you're sitting next to might cause you a problem. You're married, so that's not going to happen, right? Never going to happen, okay? Are you with me, right? No problems here. But people say,
you can't believe what happened to the church. Hello, we're sinners saved by grace. There's going to be some things that happen now and then. Hello? Is that a reason? Well, oh, I'm going to find that. Oh, you find it in the next one too. That's what goes on. But it's the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. The church of the living God. Paul said to Timothy, this is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth. How does America, you know what? America can't make it without strong churches. Hello? Without strong churches, it's not going to make it. It ain't about politics. Get that out of your mind, will you? It ain't about politics, pandemics, and government. It's the church. The country will go the way that the church goes. And when the church is Laodicean, like it is in Revelation 3, nothing happens in the country. It's the church. Want to see a change in Marlboro? It's going to happen in the church, right? It's not going to be by your elected officials. I had an uncle that was head of the House Ways and Means Committee for 40 years. He was a criminal. Politicians. Whatever. We love them. We can pray for them. But the church is what will make this country go. The church is what will make this country grow. The church is what will give this country a purpose. It's the church. Without the church. And yet, boy, the enemy is coming hard, isn't he? Think about what the impression that people have about the church that are not saved, and even many that are saved. They're like, wow. They watch all, by the way, did you ever notice that some of these big movements and leaders, they can go down? I think, like you said, didn't you say like God loves the little churches? Yeah. You got to watch out. I'm not saying every large movement, something can go wrong, but I've seen this happen. One day a guy got up in West Africa, and he said, God gave me a vision and a dream that I'm the head of the church. Oh, really? Oh, really? You're the head of the church.
You know what happened to this guy? Absolute true story. You can look it up. You can Google it. I'll give you the name. He had his head severed in a car accident. Oh, so you're the head, huh? His head's rolling down the street. I'm sorry. One day I woke up with a severed head on my front lawn in South Africa. You know the story, right? It's like there was a head there. I'm like, the heck's that doing there? My wife said, could you go outside and see what's out there? I said, somebody's head. I had Dan Sergioni, Pastor Dan, take care of it. He's good like that, you know. Just got a shovel and that was the end of that, you know, buried it, you know. But Jesus is the head of the what? The body. He's not, by the way, as much as I like parachurch groups, parachurch, what does that mean? It's outside the church or alongside the church. The church's responsibility is to evangelize. The church's responsibility is to raise young people. The church's responsibility is to have children that get to know God. It's the church. The church. And the church has lost its identity. If a Christian doesn't have an identity, and there's a crisis. The church has an identity crisis. What can we do? Then the third thing, the gospel. The gospel. It's amazing how many churches have no idea of evangelism or missions. It's incredible. I work in missions. I know this. I'm shocked. We were in a church, I think, of hundreds of people, right, Pastor Don? And it came down to the point there was about 3 people evangelizing. It used to be about 150 would go out every week. And then something happened. Something happened. I was in a church with my wife in the Midwest. We went to visit a man named Vernon Zumker. And the man got up, big church, 1,000 people. The man got up, was talking about all the programs in the church. You know, for widows, for this, for that. And that was great. So he's shaking the hands of new visitors. He goes, what'd you think about church service? So it was good. He said, you got anything to say to me about church? I said, yeah. Do you have any outreaches? You talked about 30 different inreaches. Do you have any outreaches? He goes, no, not necessary. I said, you'll never see me here again. You're off with God. You are off with God. You can have all the inreaches that you want, and they're good in the body. But we need to reach the state of Massachusetts. New Hampshire, is that where it is? Is it Manchester? Manchester. We need to reach the world with the gospel. And when there's no identity with the gospel, Paul called it my gospel, Philippians. My gospel, it's my gospel. So we go forward and we have great opportunity as a church, as a Christian, as a church, as the feet of the gospel. And we don't want it ever to become blinded. We know who we are. Isn't there a song like that that Daryl and Veronica used to do? I know who I am. Anybody ever heard that song? Do you know that song? Yeah. You know that song? You have one like it? Hey, don't lose your identity right now. You're Sal, okay? You're Sal. You're not Saul, you're Sal. No, that's a song. I love that song. You know, I know who I am. Huh?
Can you sing a little bit?
What, do you want me to take over your music group too? Huh? I don't know how it goes. Anybody know how it goes? I know who. I know. No, that's not it. Something like it, but it's not it. But listen, remember, identity crisis is what's going on. We need to be secure in who we are in Christ. I am, what did Paul say to the Corinthians? You reject me, but I am what I am by the grace of God. And when I have an identity, I labor more abundantly than you all. See, his identity became his ability. And that's where we are today. We grow in knowing who we are in Christ, who we are in the church, who we are in the gospel, and then the ability comes from that. Identity to ability. And when Moses knew who he was, he knew who he was. Then he could go to Egypt and do what God would have him to do. When David knew who he was, not a shepherd boy, but a king. Remember that song that Woot Horn used to sing? Hidden valleys turn shepherds into kings. That's another song. There we go. We should just start writing songs, Sal. Okay. After church, we'll go up and just compose some songs. Okay? But knowing who you are. David, do you know who you are? Jacob, do you know who you are? You're not Jacob, you're Israel, one who has power with God. Isaiah, do you know who you are? Jeremiah, do you know who you are? Hebrew boys, Daniel, do you know who you are? When you know who you are, then that will be incredible. That will be the source of what we do. The identity becomes the ability, and we grow with God. Amen? Father, thank you today. Thank you. For we're not going to live with any identity crisis. Rahab began to know who she was, and then she could know what to do. Ruth, identity crisis with Naomi, and then she had her identity given to her by God, and then what did she do? It was incredible. Is incredible. Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Do you know who you are? This is the great opportunity for believers. I know who he is. I know his body, the church, and I know who I am, and I bring the gospel. I have an identity in Jesus Christ, in the body, and in the gospel. And what a difference that makes in a person's life. We thank you. I am what I am by the grace of God. Pray with me. First of all, if there's someone here that's not born again, just simply say, Jesus, save me this morning. I don't know who I am. I don't know who I am. I just know I'm a sinner and I need salvation. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if that's your prayer, Jesus, save me. Jesus says, I will make you. I will make you a Christian. I will make you. God does the making. We do the taking. That's your prayer with our eyes closed, heads bowed. Just put your hand up. Jesus, save me. Save me, Lord. And if we're here as believers, help us, God, to begin to be receivers of who we are, the new person in Christ. Help us to know who Jesus is on a daily basis, what the church is, and the gospel. May our identity be the source of our ability. Our identity and our ability. Stop thinking about what you can or cannot do. Think about who He is, and who the church is, and who you are in Him and in the church. That's a great deliverance. It's a great healing. So we thank you. Let's all stand as we close with a song.